So is it time to shake up our drinking laws? For some time, there have been demands for longer pub hours. Now there are new calls for more drinking on Good Friday and a relaxing of licensing laws at outdoor sports grounds. Is it time for a change? Let's start with Jerry White this morning, bar manager at the John Hewitt, Belfast chairman of Hospitality Ulster. Set the stall out here, Jerry. Morning to you.
Morning, how are you?
Doing all right.
First of all, can I just say, these aren't new calls because this is becoming an annual ritual, really. There was a public consultation done back in 2012, and the then Minister of Social Development, Nathan McCausland, said they would have something sorted by 2014. 2 years later, it's still not sorted. But just to give you an idea of where we stand, the law is on the Thursday before Easter. Bars have to close at 11 p.m. unless you have a late licence, then you have to close at 12 p.m. On the Good Friday, alcohol cannot be sold before 5 p.m. and it can only be sold up until 11 p.m.
11 p.m. you have to stop serving?
Yeah, you've just 6 hours of business. But this really...
On Good Friday?
On Good Friday. But the problem is, really on Good Friday, is that off licences can sell alcohol from 8 a.m. in the morning until 11 p.m. So that proves that this isn't about the sale of alcohol, because you can buy alcohol on Good Friday. You can buy alcohol at 8 o'clock in the morning. But if you go to a public house where you can have a meal at lunch or whatever, where it's served responsibly, you cannot buy alcohol until 5 p.m. And the bar, whether it's got a late licence or not, has to close at 11 p.m. There's also early closing on the Saturday and early closing on the Sunday.
And these restrictions, those restrictions that you talk about, they just apply a couple of days a year, right? That's not throughout the year.
No, it's not a couple of days a year. It's a full weekend, and it's a weekend at the start of the holiday season. It's Easter holidays when we get tourists coming over. And particularly this year, when we're celebrating the Year of Food and Drink in Northern Ireland.
And what Jerry, just keep me right. I don't drink, right? So I don't even go out. I go out about once a year at the Nolan Show Christmas party. Don't start me with that, right? But so I'm completely out of touch with everything that's to do with this whole drinking circuit and bar culture and all this kind of stuff. So what are the normal restrictions throughout the majority of the year?
The majority of the year is if a bar holds an Article 44 license, it allows that bar to serve alcohol until 1 a.m. and then you have a half hour drinking up 10. A bar, the majority of bars do, but if they don't, then the bar has to close at 11 p.m.
So what is the logic for that's what's permissible the rest of the year? Why should it be any different at Easter?
Exactly, but it's obviously a religious view. It's a religious time of year, and I have every respect for people's beliefs. But at the end of the day, if people don't want to go and drink because of their beliefs, they'll not do it. But that shouldn't be enforced on everyone else.
Stay there for me.
And just so we also have to remember is in Northern Ireland, we live in a very multicultural society. But there's all, you know, we've got all beliefs and religions living here, which is wonderful and colourful and exciting for the place we now live.
Let's stay there. Let's bring the Reverend David McElveen into this morning. If you want to pick up the phone, by the way, 0303 80 55 55. Morning, David.
Yes, good morning, Stephen.
Just on that point, why should grown adults who are abiding by the law, aren't causing any hassle, why on certain days of the year should they not be able to drink until 5 o'clock at night and have to go home to bed in terms of if they want to drink, home to their own house at 11 o'clock?
Yes, I wonder,
treated like a child, do they not?
Yes, I understand if I could just say, first of all, that our sympathy and our prayers are with the family of the young boy in Newton Ards this morning.
Of course.
And I think that is very much something that we need to keep in mind. But on the matter of licensing laws that are linked into Easter Friday, I personally welcome any recognition that is given to what is a most solemn day of reflection for many people. However, I do feel that the present legislation, as it does stand at the moment, is not sufficient to give the respect that the suffering, the death, and ultimately the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ merits. Now, coming from a biblical-based position, I would desire that people would know the Lord Jesus Christ rather than knowing about him. Now, your question really is a very interesting one, because whenever we go to other parts of the world, whether it is into the Middle East, where you have Ramadan or Yom Kippur, we are asked to give respect to the religion of those countries. The United Kingdom has been recognized as a Christian country, but how can we be respectful of other people's religions if first and foremost we are not respectful of our own religion? And I believe that it is only right that we should leave aside a day to reflect very much upon what is a central theme of the gospel, the death, the shedding of the Saviour's blood on the cross.
Yeah, but David, it's sacrosanct and it's important to you, and I respect your beliefs and I respect that. But for people who do not share your religious beliefs, why are you imposing it on them? There's no one forcing you to go into a pub on Easter Friday. But for someone that's working all year, or a tourist that's coming into this country that wants to maybe have a drink at 11:30 at night, you know, they're not 10 years of age, David.
Well, I was in Israel just 2 years ago, and I happened to be there at Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. And there's no traffic as allowed to travel on the roads. You're not even able to go in to buy food. You have to be part of the whole day of fasting. Now, you respect that because that is part of the nation. Now, when it comes to actually, you know, restricting alcohol, we've been told by the chief medical officer just 2 weeks ago that there should be a reduction of the intake of alcohol. She is suggesting that there should be at least 2 days where people should be alcohol-free. Well, this is a wonderful opportunity for one of those days to be Good Friday.
You've said this morning you don't think the law goes far enough. What further restrictions would you want?
Well, I would like to see a totally free alcoholic day, you know, for, you know, occasions like this. I mean, I like yourself.
Alcohol banned on a few days a year.
Yes, yeah, just as it is. You take Ramadan. You know, people respect Ramadan because that is part of a religious identity. People respect, as I've referred to, Yom Kippur because that is part of the Jewish position.
Okay. What's your reaction to that, Jerry?
Well, you see, again, I have to say, it isn't about the sale of alcohol. The law is so silly, and I'll give you a perfect example. As I said, on Good Friday, a bar can't sell alcohol until 5 p.m., has to close 11 p.m., but you can buy alcohol from an off-license from 8 a.m. in the morning. What's responsible about that? Until 11 p.m. late. So I'll give you a perfect example. You could go to an off-license, and you could buy a bottle of wine. You could bring that bottle of wine to a peace area and bring your own type restaurant and have that bottle of wine with your mate. But you couldn't go to a bar or a hotel, order a meal and have a glass of wine with it.
Gordon's in Ballymoney. Morning, Gordon.
Good morning. I was just ringing up and express my views. It really does my cha-chas in when people from churches come
does
home.
Your cha-chas in?
Yeah.
What are your cha-chas?
It does my head in.
I've never heard that before. I like it. I'm going to use that. Cha-chas.
When they put people like Mr. McElveen on, who believe in some imaginary sky fairy, who...
Well, no, you need to respect his belief and his religion without personalising it, don't you?
Not really, no. I don't have to respect it. If he wants to believe in that, it doesn't have to command respect from me. I'm a devout atheist, and I refute all everyone he talks about is nonsense to me, so I don't have to respect it. But what I will say is when people like that have some form of dictatorial control over what law-abiding taxpayers do within this country, Northern Ireland will be in the dark ages because of religion. And slowly but surely, people are coming around to the fact that there is no God, that people like that are holding everyone else back. If people want to believe in that, they can believe in that. If it makes their life comfortable, they can believe it. When they start dictating what law-abiding taxpayers can do, then we have issues.
Councillor Jim Rogers, let's bring Jim Rogers in on this. Morning to you, Jim.
Good morning, Stephen.
Where do you stand in this? So I keep on using this term grown adult. Goes out, you know, at 4 o'clock on Easter Friday, whatever it is. They can't get a drink. They stay, they get a drink at 6 o'clock. By 11 o'clock, they're basically being told, if you want a drink, you have to go home now. It's like being sent up to your bedroom as a child.
Stephen, could it first of all be associated with the sympathy, thoughts and prayers of the six-year-old child who tragically lost his life yesterday coming from school in Newton-Ards? And we need to get our priorities right in life. But in this issue, now I'm a non-drinker, but the confusion over the licensing opening hours on Good Friday are just unbelievable. I've been stopped on numerous occasions by visitors who come into the City Hall for the Easter weekend. And they say to me, why is the pubs not selling any alcohol today? And then you start to explain, and they don't fully understand it. Now, furthermore, I've been noticing in the last week that publicans in the Republic of Ireland, they have renewed their fight to open pubs on Good Friday because their laws are even much stricter than ours. I think the big problem is if you want a drink, you'll get a drink. And as has already been pointed out by Jerry about the off-licences, we do need consistency here because the licensed vintners are, I think, suffering. There's victimisation. I would sincerely hope...
Victimisation? It's a strong term.
I think they're being victimised because you need consistency. If somebody was to seek a judicial review on this one, I don't know where it would end up. And all I'm saying is I'm not one of these individuals who believes in telling people what they should do. Say, I don't take any alcoholic drinks, but if somebody wants to go into a pub or they want to go into a club or wherever, that's entirely up to them. I can understand where the Reverend David McElveen's coming from. I fully respect his views, but we need to get similar hours here because it isn't good enough. And lots of people just don't understand what this is all about.
Yeah, and some people might see this as a further attack on Christian values, of course.
Yes, that is very true. And we also understand fully the dangers of alcohol. If you look at what has happened over the Christmas New Year period, the number of people caught drinking whilst driving. And drink is a curse. A lot of young people are getting caught up in drinking really heavy along with drugs. They're carrying out various offences. They're ending up in court. Some are being sent to prison. We need to take all of these things into consideration, but this doesn't take away from these opening hours, which are certainly need to be reviewed.
Let's say we're sent home. Lawrence in Sainfield. Morning, Lawrence.
Good morning, Stephen. Stephen, they're going to have to come into Lyme or the rest of Europe if they want to bring tourists, host major events. It's crazy.
And well, there have to be some controls, Lawrence, don't there?
They need to what?
There have to be some controls.
But they can have control. But
you don't want a 24-hour drinking culture, do you?
Ancient laws. And like the thing about it is, the Reverend David McElveen, he's preaching there on the Word of God. But what I would like to ask him...
Well, speak to him. Say good morning to him.
Good morning, David.
Yes, good morning, Lawrence.
Jesus was a Jew. Is that right or wrong?
Absolutely right, yes.
Then where does free Presbyterianism come from?
It comes from the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ had other sheep which were not of that fold.
But if Jesus was a Jew and the Christians were Jews, why aren't we all Jews? We're followers of Christ. Why? Where's Presbyterian? Where's the Presbyterian? It's a new religion that was started up by Ian Paisley.
I tried to answer you there, Lawrence, but you didn't give me the opportunity. I said that the Lord Jesus Christ made it very clear that there were other sheep which were not of that fold, which was the Jewish fold. Them also must he bring. We are part of that Gentile that were brought in to the same knowledge of Jesus Christ as Saviour. That is the central point of our message. It is not some ceremonial law. It is the fact that we are sinners saved by God's sovereign grace. That is the issue, and that is why we're so keen to advance and to promote that message, because that is the message that changes
the Bible. I take it you know the Bible.
Well, I've read the Bible many times.
Then tell me this here. Adam and Eve were the first man and the first woman.
That's right.
They had two sons, Cain and Abel.
We're getting away from drinking and alcohol here, aren't we?
Cain slew Abel. And they sent the children before they slew, Cain slew Abel, they were sent into the land of God to choose their wives. Well, if Adam and Eve were the first man, the first woman, God created them, where did these women come from?
I'm sure we can do this on another day.
Absolutely, I'd be delighted to answer it.
No, but it just proves... The free Presbyterians are preaching religion down everybody's throat, and you're not allowed to drink, you're not allowed to do this, and they don't even know what they're preaching on.
Bartley and Downpatrick. Morning, Bartley.
Hi, Stephen. Stephen, we have a very, very outgate.
You own a pub, don't you?
I own a pub, yeah. Yes, I have a pub and a restaurant, Downpatrick. But the laws are out so outdated, it's unreal. Why are we not doing the European... Hello?
Another person has
Sorry,
cleared.
Just wait till we get that line off. There we go. Go ahead.
Jim from the council there was on said about the drinking laws and drink and different people and coming out. The problem is what our laws are, we have a start date, a starting time, and a finishing time. And everybody's out on the streets at the same time, taxis, ranks, everything's all wrong. When it comes to Easter, we have French, Americans, we have St. Patrick's Center, a lot of tourists come into St. Patrick over the time, and then we have to close down on the Easter time. Because, and the people say, why are you closed? Well, we're only half closed. We can serve you food. We can serve you burgers and chips, but we can't give you any alcohol. They can't believe it. They think we're completely joking them. They just think it's complete nonsense. Now, people have a choice. I don't drink myself, but I don't profess down to people. And Mr. Mac, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, I believe that Christianity and all that they're preaching, it belongs in chapels, churches, or in town squares, but it doesn't belong inside public houses. You know, people should have the choice to go in and drink alcohol when they want or not, or drink minerals, or drink whatever it is. But there are license laws, the Federation of Retail Traders, they needed to get sorted out, and it's dated, outdated for many, many years.
David?
We're still...
Well, two things, Stephen. One is that I never hear too many people complaining about, you know, Christmas Day and the lack of outlets on Christmas Day. And I think it would be a very good thing if Easter was actually on one particular day of the year rather than the different times of the year that we have at the moment. And I just feel that, you know, from a minister's position, we deal many times with people who suffer from the consequences of alcohol drinking. And I know Jerry and others would be the first to say we don't encourage that, and I respect that very much indeed. But nonetheless, that problem is still very much in society. And the Chief Medical Officer's report 2 weeks ago, I think, stands out as a beacon of warning to all who are engaged in alcohol drinking. You know,
David, can I come in there and give us a moment point?
Well, I actually want to make a point here, Bartley. And Jerry White, to you too. You're still there, Jerry, right?
Yes, still here, yes.
I said this. I was in Las Vegas on New Year's Eve, and I was on the strip on Las Vegas, and I said to the guy who was with me, I couldn't believe it. There were maybe thousands of people on the strip, and some of them were drinking, some of them weren't, but there were very, very few of them drunk. And there were, I didn't see anybody falling around, causing hassle, punching people, lying on the ground, poking on the ground. Now, compare that to Shaftesbury Square on a Saturday night. There's something about a different culture in different parts of the world where they drink differently. They don't necessarily drink to get drunk. And when they are drunk, they don't lie about like lunatics on the ground, poking all around them.
If I could just come in there, Stephen. First of all, and I have the greatest respect for the Reverend David McElwain, but unfortunately, it keeps coming from the point of view that everyone abuses alcohol, which is not the case. There's people who go out and can drink socially with friends, celebrate or whatever, and drink in a very social surroundings. And it's done, let me say, very much so in a controlled environment when they do it in a restaurant or a pub. When they go and buy cheap alcohol from supermarkets, that's a different story. On your point about being in Las Vegas and being here at Shaftesbury Square, I know what Shaftesbury Square is like at 1:30, 2:00 in the morning. That's where we also need to have
The difference is extraordinary.
Yes, because...
Stephen, you're working...
Because everybody is being thrown out the door at the exact same time.
So we're working in areas where people are... As Mr. McElveen said one very good, important point. He said there about the Christmas Day and about the lack of people open. People can open on Christmas Day and open all the times, but you'll find out a lot of people don't take it because people choose Christmas Day to take Christmas Day at home. But it's their own choice. But if we're forced to close down, we must close. But we're forced to put people out in the street at 1:00 between 1:30, 1:00. We have to do it. Everybody's out in the street all at one time. In France and all the other places, people go home. You don't see big flocks of people going up the streets again. People go home whenever they know they have enough.
I still wonder, though, if there is a huge difference in our drinking culture, our mentality drink, and whether that can be changed over the generations where... You know, I come back to it. You see people drunk out of their mind, lying on the streets, being sick, peeing up against a wall. I don't necessarily see that in some other European and further afield countries. There's a different culture.
Stephen, we have a culture in here. People don't come into the bars. You come down to most bars in town centres. They're not in the city centre, but in town, people come out and drink. And they drink at home, and they don't come out to 9:30, 10:00. And then all of a sudden you see the bars filling up between 10:00 and 9:30. Then they leave and they come to the bigger bars and nightclubs. In Belfast it's the same. But the only thing is it's drinking early. What we do, we have a very late drinking crowd. And they try to come in. They come into our place about 10:30, 11:00. We've got to 1:00 to drink. So they're getting as much drink down the throat as they can. And they're then...
So what's that about, though? Just think about what you've just said. They get as much drink down their throat as they can. Why?
Yes.
To get off their head? Why? Why would you do that?
Because they only have an hour and a half drinking time.
Right, so why don't they have a couple of drinks and go home again? Why do they need to throw it down their throat
as quickly as they can
to get drunk, to get off their head?
They're rushing to get their drink before the doorman asks them to leave, or the security asks them to leave, and that's just the way it is. People have to go. Once it's 1 o'clock, half one, you have to drink up, that's it, and then you have to go home. And this, but it is a good thing, too. I believe it's all the late night. In Belfast, what we have is, we had a problem with this past 5 or 10 years, where certain nightclubs were allowed to open at certain times. That's all changed now. You can drink up to 2 o'clock if you want, in most bars and restaurants.
Okay. Let me bring in Kevin. Morning, Kevin. I'm Ballinahinch. Morning there.
Good morning, Stephen. Basically, what I was wanting to say was I would be a regular church goer. However, I think all the statistics in regards to people going to church in Northern Ireland has dropped right down. Is it a case that the minority is ruling the majority in regards to this? The other part that
that's a question for you, David McIlvaine.
Well, I don't see myself as ruling the majority. I see myself as having a point of view that is based in the Bible.
Do you agree that non-churchgoers are now in the majority?
I think we have to recognise that is the case, yes. And we are living in much more of a secular...
We did a poll. I presented a programme about the poll during which there was a question about churchgoing. I just can't remember what the result was.
Yes,
I'm trying to hook it out.
It is regrettable, but I do feel that survey, if it is reflecting the fact that there is a decrease in attendance in church, that is probably true. But that doesn't remove the problem that individuals face when it comes to whatever issue they're confronted with. In this case, we're dealing with alcohol. And, you know, from a Christian's perspective, it's not just simply the physical that we would be concerned about. And you have very pictorialized, in many ways, the picture of people coming out of public houses. I've seen it myself in Shaftesbury Square, and it's not pleasant.
Because I sometimes am presenting the Five Live show, David, on a Saturday night from Belfast. That sometimes happens.
Mm-hmm.
And I love at 1 o'clock in the morning to go up and get a fish supper at a Bishop's or elsewhere around Shaftesbury Square there. And I actually would be worried about getting out of the car.
But surely, Stephen...
Half of these people off their heads.
Stephen, I think we have to put this in perspective. This doesn't happen on a nightly basis. I work in the city centre, so when I'm coming home, I'll go buy lorries. Unfortunately, I'll not be able to get a fish supper at the Bishop's anymore. It appears to be closed.
Is it?
But anyway, yeah, it seems to be. But it's not as bad as you're making it, Stephen. The vast majority of people who drink here in Northern Ireland do so sociably and do with friends and go home quite sort of able to make their way home. I mean, people here are a lot more responsible than what's being made out. There is an element of young people going out. And as we say, it's possibly because there's that cut-off point at 1 o'clock where everywhere closes. You can't go anywhere else. And when tourists come over here, many times I have had to feel embarrassed and apologise when you have to turn around and you get tourists coming over and go, we've had a great night here, use your clothes, where can we go now? Is there a club we can go? And you have to tell those people, no, sorry, everywhere's closed.
June's in Banbridge. Morning, June.
Good morning.
Good morning. You sound lively.
Oh, I am indeed. No, I was just thinking there, they were saying about sociably drinking. I want to go and stand outside some of the clubs, even in Banbridge, and see them young ones tumbling out of them. To me, I think 1 o'clock is long enough. Why, after drinking all night to 1 o'clock, why would you want to go and find another bar? You know what I mean? I have an uncle who is in a home now because of drink.
Really?
So, yes, really. You know, so, like, I mean, at the end of the day, if you want to drink, certainly drink. But, like, I think if you're going out 7:30, 9 o'clock, whatever, 1 o'clock, plenty of drink.
And Ken Kelly. Morning, Ken.
Morning, Stephen. Certainly over the 30 years I've been taxiing, tourists have commented on the Good Friday and that weekend issue. But the bigger query was this. Why are we the only part of the British Isles that don't have a public holiday for Easter on the Good Friday? Our public holiday is Monday, Tuesday. The banks locally take Friday, Monday.
Reverend McElveen, why isn't it a public holiday? If it's such an important day, why is Good Friday not a public holiday?
I would be absolutely delighted. That's one of the points that I've been making, that if it is recognised as a day similar to Christmas, then that's something that I think would be encouraged.
Is it a public holiday across the water? I have no idea.
Well, it certainly is a bank. It is a bank holiday.
It's a public holiday, and I'm not sure it's a public holiday, but the bank holiday is Monday. It's a public holiday as well. Friday, Monday. Over here, the English, when you ring an English person on a Tuesday and you tell them, this is Easter Tuesday, they say, duh, who are you? What are you doing talking Easter Tuesday? Never heard of it.
David McIlvaine, someone tweets here this morning, maybe drinkers should be able to pick when churches are open. Maybe we should do it the other way around.
Well, I don't think you'll be able to describe, hopefully anyway, the same scene that you described in Shaftesbury Square of people coming out of church. People who go to church, they go with respect, they go to listen to God's word. And I mean, I think
it's about control, David, isn't it? It's about one category, one group of people with one set of beliefs controlling another group of people with different beliefs.
How can that be whenever you think of how, you know, we would have desired the Lord's Day to be a sanctified day, a day that was special? That has changed, you know, much to my personal regret. You know, so you can't say that we as a church or even as Christians are controlling events at this time. We're living in a very secular generation that has really dismissed and marginalised the whole message of the gospel.
Well, and therefore, if you are living in that generation, should legislation reflect that?
I think the legislation that is being discussed here reflects in many ways the liberality that we have at this particular time. But there are dangers associated with alcoholism that you know, is not associated with other forms of intake.
David McElveen, thank you very much indeed. Jerry White, before you go, I haven't had a meal in a pub in years. I don't go to pubs for meals. Is the standard any good?
The standard has got better than what it's ever been. The quality of food in pubs across Northern Ireland is absolutely...
You do chicken and broccoli bake?
But we'll do it for you, Stephen, don't you worry. That'll be on for you, Stephen. Did you become a vegetarian?
Don't start me. Jerry, thank you very much. Morning to you.